Sally Field began her acting career starring in the TV sitcoms Gidget and The Flying Nun. It took a while for her to be taken seriously as a film actress, but her work has been recognized with 2 Academy Awards for her roles as a union organizer in Norma Rae and as a widow struggling to hold her family and her farm together in Places in the Heart. Her latest film, Punchline, has just been released on video. In Punchline, Sally Field played Lila Kritzik, a suburban housewife and mother, with a new interest, stand-up comedy. To prepare for the part, Field went on stage at comedy clubs. She also wrote some of the material that she performed in the film. But Field told me that doing comedy didn't come easy to her.
It's very hard to find... Comedy is a very personal thing, and it has to come from a person's life and a person's vision of the world. And it's very hard to do that and create that for a person that you don't know. I was doing it for a person that didn't exist, Lila. Now, I use that as an excuse. Probably if I had to do it for myself, I couldn't do it, which is the truth. I mean, I realized that, and I think I knew that before, but oh well. You know, doing stand-up takes a certain gift, and you can't really learn that gift. You can try to tap into the places in yourself that you find your own humor, but that doesn't mean that your gifts will ever... be the same as, say, Robin Williams or Roseanne Barr. You just can't make it happen just by asking it to. I think that in the film, Lila pulls it off, but Sally Field will never be up there again, you know what I mean?
For the 2 roles that you got Academy Awards for, your roles in Places in the Heart and Norma Rae, you played... Southern women. In this role, in Punchline, you play a New Jersey housewife who's testing out her comedy act. She's from suburban New Jersey, and your clothes are very interesting in it. The coat that you wear is this long plaid coat with a fake fur, I'm not sure which, trimmed collar, and you have these big tortoiseshell square-shaped glasses, and I was wondering who chose the clothes and the glasses. Was it you, or did you have costume designer for that?
No, actually, I just felt that Lila was not, you know, a real trendsetter here, and I didn't think she was a woman that was able to go buy a new coat every year at Bloomingdale's. I don't think every woman is, or even was the kind of woman that looked through the various magazines that tell us what we should look like every year. I think she's a person that got a comfortable coat 10 years ago. It looked good to her. It had a nice little fur collar, and she said, "Hey, I like my coat." And then I think that when she got to the club and wanted to be funny, I think she thought clothes would help. And she never really was with it enough to know that wasn't it, that her clothes did not look like the rest of the gang. And I felt it was sort of the character in this kind of feeble attempt constantly at being somebody else until the end, when she just wears a nice simple black dress and just is herself. She's constantly trying to be somebody else, and as you know, you can't make it when you're trying to be somebody else.
TV audiences were first introduced to you in the role of Gidget. And I was wondering, you know, her personality is as this pert, lovable teenager. Were you a teenager at all in that mode?
Oh, yeah. I got Gidget because I was Gidget on one level. I mean, there was another dark level to me that stayed hidden, that came out in later work. But the level of me that was the easiest to present to people was the Gidget side of myself. You know, the all-American, giggling, little thing, little American girl. And I always was that. I fit into that mold so easily as a young woman growing up in 1964 and the late 1950s. It was someplace for me to feel that I was fine. You know, I fit. It was when Sandra Dee was the number one box office female star, and I seemed to be a place for me to live, as far as I knew.
Then from Gidget, you played The Flying Nun, which I understand that you first turned down and then accepted.
Who wouldn't? I turned it down. I know that there are people in this country who like it. I don't mean to say that there's anything wrong with them, but I didn't like it. And I did it primarily because I was frightened.
That you'd sink without a trace?
Yeah, that I would. I had several people around me at the time who said, "Do it, do it. This is all you've got." And I think I was too frightened at the time to to reach out for my dreams. When I was 19 years old and I had done my first television series, I didn't have the guts. I thought I had the talent, and I certainly had the desire to act, but I didn't have the guts to walk away from television and say, go to New York and study and live in a small apartment and do off-Broadway, which I think somewhere was my dream, but I was frightened. I was frightened to leave. I'd never been out of California. I'd never been on an airplane, and I was really unsophisticated.
Well, you did something pretty gutsy shortly after The Flying Nun. If I understand this correctly, you fired your agent and your business manager after The Flying Nun, and I was wondering what the last straw was that made you dump them and find other people.
I think it was this the third television series I did called A Girl With Something Extra, which, you see, you don't even know about. So.
That's right.
It had nothing extra whatsoever, except it was, I think, the last straw. It was the final kicker where I said, you know what, I've got nowhere to go except down. So why not just go for the things you want to be? What are you waiting for?
What was your strategy for doing that?
I don't think I had any strategy at all. I think I was simply going on just sheer instinct. I don't think I had it worked out. I don't think I was really sure as to what feelings were going on inside of me. I was angry at myself and all sorts of things. I had two children. I was supporting the children. I was scared. You know, these things, and having children, you know, as people know, it changes your life. And I had two little children, and I think I just felt if I was capable of taking care of them, then I was capable of taking care of myself. And I think I felt I had to get out and fight for them. And I think that probably propelled me forward.
I think of it as being Sybil. I think of Sybil as being the role that really turned your career around. You got to play a multiple personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that was plenty of opportunities for great acting in something like that.
Yeah. Well, that was certainly my opportunity to really do what I had trained and worked mm-hmm. and so hard to do. I got a break before that, which really got me in to read for Sybil, which was in this little Bob Rafelson film called Stay Hungry with Jeff Bridges and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
That, I think that was my industry kind of break, even though the public didn't see it. And then I got to do Sybil, and I think things started to turn, but it's all very gradual. I don't, you know, still it was a long time before Norma came along, and it's a long time of just, you know, having to be very certain that you're going to make it, that you've got it.
Can I ask a perhaps stupid question? You were in your early 40s, I think, when you had your baby, your mm-hmm. your third child.
Yes,
and
I'm in my early 40s.
Right, yes. I was wondering if you were concerned at all during your pregnancy or shortly afterwards about what effects the pregnancy would have on your body, because I know how conscious you have to be of your body and of how you look when you're an actress.
Well, actually, I didn't think of that a whole lot. I mean, there's a side of me that said, what are you doing? You worked so long on those abs, honey. Don't let them, like, fall apart like this. And then the other side of me said, who cares? You know, who cares about those things? Because, you know, a child is so much more important than you know, your stomach muscles. And also, you underestimate what a miracle the human body is. Because, my body is coming back together. I've hardly even worked out. I think it all has to do with where women are now. You know, we are much healthier than our mothers were at this age. And goodness knows we have worked out much more than they probably ever did in their lives as a general rule. You know, there's some women, I'm sure, who worked out a lot. And I think that our bodies, even at 41, are able to just sort of bounce right back if you pay attention to them.
Well, Sally Field, I thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.